New England gets about 10% of its energy from renewable sources, and officials say more is on the way. This week, we have a series of reports taking a look at what that means for New England. We begin in Vermont, where solar power is booming, from small projects supplying a few homes to massive multi-acre arrays that produce enough energy to power a small town. To understand how sun power is changing the energy market, John Dillon from Vermont Public Radio visited a small, member-owned utility.
Well, we got a couple outages going on. One is from a tree coming down, breaking a pole.
Inside the control room of the Vermont Electric Cooperative, operator Danny McMullen is keeping a close eye on screens that show the electrons flowing in and out of the co-op's Northern Vermont territory.
And then we got another one with some underground faulty that crews are working on, hopefully to have restored, you know, a lot of practice this forenoon. And so it's fairly quiet this morning, though, compared to what it can be at times.
It's cloudy and rainy this morning, so the instruments aren't showing much output from solar installations. Jeff Wright is the co-op's chief operating officer. He says there's one major benefit from solar power, at least in the summer.
It really does relieve pressure from the grid during the day when the system's peaking.
But during a recent sweltering week in August, Wright and the members of his co-op saw the limitations and the potential downside of solar generation. To understand what happened, you have to understand how power companies pay for their transmission costs. These prices are set annually and are pegged to how much the utility uses on that one time of the year when it draws the most electricity from the grid. Little swings in demand can make a big difference in transmission costs.
That swing for us could be $400,000-$600,000 just between those 2 days.
And that bill ultimately gets passed on to customers. So every power company pays obsessive attention to that day of peak use. They even ask customers to turn off appliances like dryers or dishwashers until the peak has passed. Solar systems can help offset that peak demand in the summer, but they did not help in Vermont during that hot week in August. The problem was, it was sunny in Massachusetts, where solar arrays all over the state helped reduce the strain on the grid. But in Vermont, clouds and rain reduced the solar output, so Massachusetts will save on transmission costs for the year, while Vermont will not.
It's a really interesting push-pull, because when it's hot and it's sunny, it's nice to have less load to manage. But when you start to have those regional issues and one's doing a lot of generation, one's not, and you're starting to set your transmission costs based on your load allocation, it gets really volatile. And I think in the future, that might become worse, but it's definitely something that nobody has really talked about yet.
Those discussions are starting to happen, triggered by a huge boom in solar in Vermont and across New England. In 2012, solar panels supplied 250 megawatts across the six-state region. This year, they'll deliver up to 1,600 megawatts, according to ISO New England, the regional grid operator. In 10 years, ISO expects that to more than double, to about 3,300 megawatts. But here's a challenge. Remember those screens the guys at Vermont Electric were looking at, with power flowing across the grid? Grid operators can't see a lot of that solar generation. Marsha Blomberg, a spokeswoman for ISO, says much of the solar generation is what's called behind the meter. It's from rooftop panels or small arrays near houses.
Operating the power grid without being sure what those resources are going to be doing and how much consumers will be reducing their energy usage is the challenge.
Another challenge is the intermittent nature of solar power. Clouds that obscure the sun can drastically drop production from 1 second to the next. That means all of that solar power needs a backup source, primarily from natural gas generators.
If you can't see it and if you can't predict it, what you're forced to do is to run the grid more conservatively. And what that means in terms of air pollution and money is that you have power plants on standby.
Tom Dunn is CEO of Velco, which operates the transmission grid in Vermont. He says what's needed is more accurate weather forecasting. Velco has teamed up with IBM to use a supercomputer to produce precise weather forecasts down to 1 square kilometer. Dunn says knowing when the sun will shine and the wind will blow means the grid needs less of that natural gas power on standby.
When we have data, I think then we're in a place where we can comfortably make decisions to not make the infrastructure investment if it's not needed.
ISO New England has teamed up with Velco on a pilot project to improve forecasting for solar and wind generation. Dunn says more precise weather forecasting could save tens of millions of dollars annually because those standby generators wouldn't have to run so much in New England. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm John Dillon.